Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Come on, can we give it up for our media team? Come on, we like having fun here. Does anybody like having fun in church? A few of us, all right. Hey, can we give it up for our media crew right here too? Come on, doing that. That was awesome. We've been trying to figure out a way for so long for the whole church to be a part of water baptisms and all of the middle school. You can go to your class. We got a great class for you. A way for the church to be a part of baptisms. We finally got it figured out, but guess what? We're leaving this place in 8 weeks. People, come on. Come on, we only have eight more times meeting in this theater. And I would say it's bittersweet, but it's not. It's just sweet. Come on, somebody. I am absolutely pumped to get our own building. And man, excited what God's doing here at Canvas Church. I'm really excited for today. I just want to give all those that got water baptized a big hand again. Come on. Man, what an awesome thing. I want to encourage you, for the four of you that took that step of faith and just obedience to scripture, I want to encourage you, man, make today special. Go out and celebrate. Grab some friends and some family and go out and celebrate and say, man, this is a great day. Let's mark this day and let's just remind ourselves what God has done in our life. All of you that joined us today for that, thank you so much. But man, looking back on 2018, it's been an absolutely amazing year. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, actually, that we just crossed into 2018, doesn't it? It seems like it was just like 365 days ago. It doesn't actually seem that long ago. And here's why, because obviously there's only 52 weekends in a year. And man, God just has done so many awesome things for Canvas Church this year. And just thinking about when we started out the year, starting out with our Dream Again series. I thought it was just going to be like a 4 or 5 week series. And then like 16 weeks later, God was still speaking to us out of these like 11 verses. And we just camped on those for 16 weeks. And God just kept speaking to our church. And really, we did begin to dream again. So many incredible stories from family members reuniting. Pastor Brandon's story, and I don't know how many of you know his story, such an incredible story about how God reunited him with family. Man, just an amazing story. Others, man, believing that God would provide a new house for them. People have purchased their first home this year. Exciting. But some of the greatest things that I'm thinking about are a couple of ladies in our church that have been so just calling out upon God and believing that they would be able to have their very first child. And we had two ladies in particular that God has blessed them with their first child this year. One of them actually born this year. One of them going to be born in like 2 months. And man, just incredible stories, man. Just blown away by what God has done. And the stories just come. And then obviously, come on, for our community, our announcement last week that we have a building church, right? I mean, super pumped. I mean, this has been an incredible year. It's been kind of one of those years like, are you kidding me? Can it get any better? And I want you to know, yes, it does get better. That our best days are still ahead of us, Canvas Church. That 2018 has been an absolutely incredible year, but as good as God has been to us, it gets even better and better and better and better. And I want to share with you today, because I believe that 2019, as good as this year was, is going to be even better for us as a community. But also, I believe that He really does have a wonderful life for you. Each and every one of you, you know, we've been in this series, and it's not just a Christmas series. This is about your life. This is about the plans that God has for your life, and it really is a wonderful life. And I want to share with you a couple of keys as we cross into 2019, because there's something you got to understand, that as wonderful as a life and plan that God has for you doesn't mean it's just going to come to pass because you want it to. That man, God really does have great promises. God really does have a wonderful life. God really does have amazing things. But just because He has it for you doesn't mean you're not going to have to fight for it. Right. God really does have a wonderful life for us. Yet in order to get it, we have to fight for it. In order to get it, we have to fight for it. And I believe that it's worth fighting for. I believe that every part of me, man, I believe that it's worth fighting for. I want to share that with you today. And so turn in your Bibles, if you would, to a couple of different passages. Numbers chapter 13, going to start in verse 26. And then we're going to go to another Old Testament one, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. And then we'll bring in some other passages for you today. But I want you to get this in your spirit, that as we go into 2019, man, the wonderful life is there. but we're going to need to fight for it. Numbers chapter 13, starting verse 26. What's happening? Let me catch you up. Here's what's happening. In the Old Testament, which is about what I'm going to read from here in just a minute, the children of Israel are the people of God. This is God's nation. He's chosen them. And they have just come out of a place called Egypt. Now, Egypt was originally a place of rescue for them. There had been a great famine in the land, and God opened up an opportunity for all of his people to enter Egypt for a place of provision, a place of protection, really a place of prosperity. But now some 400 years go by, and they're in Egypt, and through time, new leaders rise on the scene. And in this particular season, new leaders on the scene, and he looks around, and he sees the people of God. He sees how powerful they become, how strong they become, and he starts to be gripped with fear, thinking, man, they're going to rise up and take over our nation. And so what happens is this leader begins to enslave all of God's people. And he begins to put taskmasters over them. And so they're actually instructed to build homes and temples and buildings for the Egyptians. And so now what was once a place of freedom has become a place of oppression. And so the people of God, the children of Israel, are oppressed. They're living in slavery. They're living in bondage. They're told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. There's no freedom in their life at all. Well, God raises up a guy named Moses who is on the scene now to help deliver the people of God, the children of Israel, out of that place of oppression. And he does through a series of events. We'll kind of jump around and talk about a little bit of it today. And so he leads the people of Israel out. Now, here's the cool part. God says, I'm going to take you to a promised land. I'm going to take you to a wonderful life. And so Moses is on the scene, helps lead them out of slavery. Now, here they are in Numbers chapter 13, and they are standing on the edge of this wonderful life that God has for them. They're literally visually seeing this amazing provision, this amazing life God has for them. 12 spies go in to spy it out, and they all come back. Chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 26. And the spies, the men, went back to Moses. That's the guy I just told you about. They let him out. Went back to Moses and Aaron and the entire Israelite community. These are the people of God. In the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back a report for them and the whole community. And they showed them the fruit of the land. They reported to Moses, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. Indeed, it is 3 acres, 24,000 square feet. Come on, an auditorium and a wedding chapel. And, man, it's awesome. That's our building anyway. Okay. Man, it's flowing with milk and honey, meaning it's good. And here's some fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan. In other words, man, this thing that you promised us, man, there's some obstacles in our way. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, we must go up and take possession of the land because we certainly can conquer it. Amen. We must raise this money. We are well able. I don't hear enough cheers. I heard 3 cheers. I'm like, are the 3 of you cheering? Better have big bank accounts. All right. Notice the we. It's plural. Come on. We must go up and take possession of the land because we certainly can conquer it. But the men who had gone up with him responded, we can't go up against the people because they are stronger than we are. So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted out. Scripture would tell us that only 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. The others came back with a negative report. We scouted it out. The land we passed through, the explorers, one that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great size. Like Pastor Ben. Why are you laughing? And it's not just talking about height. Come on, somebody. Great size. We even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. These are giants. come from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them. And here in this last verse, we see the key to the whole thing. The battle wasn't about what was out there. The battle was going on in here. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, so we probably do to them as well. The story goes on, and because of fear, they don't go in and possess the promise that God has for them. They're standing. There it is. They've been inside of it. They see it. But because they were unable to conquer what was going on in here, they were unable to go in and conquer what God had said is theirs. God has a wonderful life for you, but you're going to have to fight for it. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Some 40 years pass. Now they're going to go round 2. It's yours. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, that was the leader that led them out of bondage, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. It's there. It's yours. You're going to have to fight for it. I've given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. Just as I promised Moses, your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Amen. Isn't that a good verse? Amen. Get that in your spirit. Verse 6. Listen to what he says. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous. Carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. The book of the instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may be carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. This is this next one. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear is the antithesis of faith. Do not be afraid. Do not be gripped with fear or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this amazing story found in the Bible. And I pray that God, you would help me with all my might communicate to this incredible church just how amazing the wonderful life is that you have for us. God, I pray you'd help me do my best now to create a place where people can encounter your son, Jesus, know your love, and walk out of here understanding the incredible plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I've been having so much fun the last couple weeks celebrating Christmas with my family, trying to just be on the down low with them. Matter of fact, this was the first Christmas we've had in years where it was just the four of us at home. And we didn't know how we were going to like that because, you know, usually we're with family. And we did go spend a couple hours with Katie's brother and whatnot. But pretty much it was just the four of us. And so we've been watching a lot of movies. Anybody like watching movies? As a matter of fact, one of my daughters became addicted to Hallmark movies, believe it or not. I'm not going to mention which one, but we've been watching movies and hanging out, but we always have our go-to movies, right? Like you always have your go-to. Like, come on, how many guys like watching Elf? Anybody like watching Elf? Only like, what's wrong with you people? Come on, how many guys like watching Elf? How can you not like, okay, there's a little more, right? But one of our go-tos is always Home Alone 1. How many guys like Home Alone 1? Right? Like, and there's just like, it's a fun movie, right? And so we always put that on. But there's this one scene that happens that reminds me a little bit of my childhood growing up. And it's when they're all in the kitchen and little Kevin comes in and he's looking for his cheese pizza. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He comes in, man. He is ready for his cheese pizza. And then his big bad brother is just chomping down the last piece, right? And Kevin's like, where's my cheese pizza? Now that reminds me a little bit of my childhood growing up. And some of you that have been coming to church, you've heard about my childhood. Now, when it came to dinner time, and I have three older brothers, when it came to dinner time and my mom would make these meals, we would all sit together and we would eat together and everyone would pass the meal around, you know, and you dish up and whatnot. And it was great, right? When mom and dad were there, it was great. But my mom knows how to cook. And she wouldn't just cook enough for that day. She would cook enough for leftovers. Anybody know anything about leftovers? Come on, y'all know something about leftovers, right? And so she would always cook enough so there was leftovers so we could eat the next night and maybe the next, you know, night and whatever. And there's always just food. That's one of the things I loved about growing up in my it's just like there was always food in the refrigerator. Come on, somebody. But I learned something very quickly at a young age with three older brothers that just because the meal was there and it was in the fridge didn't mean that I got it. I had three older brothers, come on somebody, and I had to fight for it. Because even though everybody was kosher around the dining table, the minute that went into Tupperware and went into the refrigerator, it was free game for everybody. Now, I wasn't as big and buff and burly as I was back then, or I'm buff and burly now, not, I was little back then. Three older brothers. And so if we all showed up at the refrigerator at the same time, there was no way I was getting the food. They just pushed me out of the way. And so I had to be sneaky about it, right? Like go like early in the morning and hide some in the back behind something else, right? I learned. But you gotta understand, like just because it was there didn't mean I got it. I had to fight for it. It was there, it was prepared, but I had to get it. Something we see in this passage today is that the land is there, the promise is there, the wonderful life is available, but you're gonna have to fight for it. It's not just gonna come because you want it to come. Now listen to me, I need to be very clear here because I'm not talking about salvation. I need you to understand this today. I'm not talking about, man, this salvation that God has for man. Man, God's grace, man, comes and salvation is a free gift. Man, there's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing, you can't work hard enough. You can't wish hard enough. You can't pray hard enough. Man, salvation is the free gift of Jesus Christ based on what he did on the cross and his grace comes. And all you gotta do is say, okay, I'll take it. And you do nothing for it. It is just free and it's there. But that's salvation. I'm talking about once you're saved. Listen, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that there is a real enemy. It's the devil. It's a real spiritual battle. We really do fight a spiritual battle. And that enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy you and your life. But it goes on to say, but I, Jesus, have come that you will have life, salvation, and that you might have that life more abundantly. There's the wonderful life. There's salvation. Listen to me. You don't have to live a wonderful life in order to go to heaven. You don't have to live an abundant life in order to go to heaven. You just accept the free grace of Jesus Christ and say, I'm your child. Man, thank you for saving me. And you know what? You can live that. You can live in poverty. You can live however you want. As long as it's not in sin. You don't have to have this abundant to go to heaven. But listen to me. I believe with all my heart that God would say to you today that I did not just come to save you. I came to give you an abundant, full life that is impactful for your family, that's impactful for your community, that's impactful for your church, that's impactful for your community, but you're gonna have to fight for it. It's not just gonna come because you want it to come. If we go back to the story and we look at what happens to the children of Israel, what happens is this, is that Moses comes on the scene and he says, hey, I'm here because of God and we're gonna walk out of this place and we're gonna leave bondage and we're gonna leave slavery. They didn't have to do anything but say yes to the plan and walk it out. They did not, God shows up and does all of these miracles so that Egypt would let them go. All Israel had to do was just walk out. They did nothing for it. That's the same with us when it comes to salvation. He pulls us out of bondage and out of slavery and out of oppression, all because of his grace. The children of Israel walked out of Egypt all because of his grace. But then they get to the wonderful life. They get to the promised land. And he says, hey, there it is. Now you go possess it. Now you take control of it. You take authority. Are you with me this morning? God has an incredible plan for us. God has an incredible plan for this church, for this community. God has an incredible plan for your life. But it isn't gonna happen just because you want it to happen. You're gonna face some stuff in this journey. You're gonna face some stuff in the process. You're gonna face some stuff as you're walking out this thing called Christianity. You're gonna face some road bumps. You're gonna face some what look like giants, but you need to understand something. The obstacle that you're really facing isn't out there. The obstacle you're facing is right in here. Because with him, all things are possible. With Christ on my side, nothing is impossible. Come on, I'm the head and not the tail. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I need to realize who I am in him. And if I realize who I am in him and I look here, man, nothing out there looks too difficult. Man, I'll be honest with you. I mean, here we are as a church and we face some challenges. We face some difficult times. But you know what? God has been with us. Man, I just got a Voxer. Anybody Vox around here on their phone? Anybody like, what's a Voxer? It's just an app on your phone. Anybody Vox? Am I the only one that Voxes? Okay, well, get with the times, guys. It's a really cool app. You can get messages from people and then you don't have to listen to them until you want to. Voxer. But I got a Voxer from a friend in Florida. Pastor said, man, we're praying for you. Man, we're in on this thing. We're gonna be sending a check for this amount. We're gonna help you get into that building. Amen. But you know what the best thing was? It wasn't even the money he said he sent you. The best thing was the prophetic word that he spoke over the Voxer. He said, I believe this is the year of establishment for Canvas Church. Man, you've been roaming from building to building. You've been meeting in theaters and schools, and you've been faithful with what God's given you. But I believe as you hit this building, man, you're going to be established like never before, and you're going to be a city set on a hill where light shines and gathers people in and brings them in. Man, this is going to be your church. Our church. But listen to me, church, we're not just gonna be able to just walk right in. We got some giants ahead of us. We need to raise $45,000 more by January 17th. But listen to me, the battle isn't the amount. The battle is right here. God, what are you speaking me to give? And God spoke to us. And we actually only have to raise 44 more thousand because God spoke to us as we were sitting right there to give 1,000 a day. And I'm like, babe, are you sure? She's like, stop it. Because the battle's in here. The battle's in here. But we can do this as a church. But listen, it's not just about the building. It's about you on your spiritual journey and what God's doing in your life and how God's carrying you and what you're gonna face some obstacles at some point. Are you with me this morning, church? But you need to hear me. As we go into the great things that God has for life, and I just wanna share with you these three keys real quickly. I believe that you will obtain, but you gotta understand first and foremost, the battle isn't out there. The battle isn't what's in front of you. The battle is right in here. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you obey him? Are you with me this morning? And so let me just give you a couple of these keys as we enter 2019. Obtaining the wonderful life that God has for us. First and foremost, what you need to possess the promise that God has for you, the wonderful life. Number one, you need strength. You need strength. Listen to the first thing that he says to Joshua. Remember, Moses is already there with the people. They didn't go in and obtain it. Now 40 some years later, Joshua is now leading the people to the promised land. And the first word he gets, hey, I'm gonna be with you. Man, you guys are gonna get this. But God remembers what happened the last time. So he gives them three keys. And the first one is, hey, Joshua, here's what you gotta do. You gotta be strong, man. You gotta have some strength. You gotta have some spiritual strength. You gotta have some natural strength, some physical strength. Man, listen, this wasn't metaphorical to them. This was real for them. This was, you better have some physical strength. You better have some spiritual strength. You better have some mental strength. You better have some emotional strength. You need to be strong if you're gonna go in and possess. And I believe that God would tell you today, man, 2019 is a great year. Man, there's so much on the horizon for you, but you gotta be strong. You gotta be strong. What do you need? I don't know what you need to get strong. You know what you need. Man, you need to work it out with God and you need to say, God, I'm crossing in and I'm a part of this journey. I'm a part of this plan. I'm a part of what you're doing and I wanna be strong. What do I need to do to get strong? The Bible would tell us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. That's an encouragement, by the way, that Paul, the great apostle, is writing to the church in Galatia, and he's saying, hey, church, you're doing good. Here's what I need you to understand. Don't grow weary in doing what you're doing. You need to be strong, church. Man, because there's gonna be some obstacles, gonna be some resistance, but you need to be strong. But I love what Ephesians says. I love Ephesians 6:10, because here's what it says. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, where does my strength come from? I need to be strong. Okay, well, what do I need to do? You need to rest in him. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not by my might, it's not by my power, but it's by the very Spirit of God that's working inside of me. What obstacle is in your way right now as you approach 2019? What promises does God have for you? What does the wonderful life look like? Listen to me, you better be strong, but you gotta be strong in him and the power of his might. And so listen to me, this is so great because a lot of you might hear that and think, okay, I mean, I need to be strong. No, the Bible says that even when you're weak, he is strong, and that his strength is actually made perfect in my weakness. I need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We can't walk into this thinking, okay, man, let's go, man, let's roll up our sleeves. Yeah, we're gonna roll up our sleeves, trust me. And we're gonna get to work. My old pastor used to say, pray as hard as you can and then hustle as hard as you can. And watch and see what God does. Because he really does have a wonderful life. But we're gonna have to fight for it. If we're gonna fight for it, come on now. Are you with me, church? We're gonna fight through some stuff. We gotta be strong in him. Listen, we've had so many opportunities to be strong over the years. And not just since we started this great church, but I'm talking about in our ministry. My wife and I will celebrate 20 years of full-time ministry this January. And as I look back, I'm blown away. We will celebrate 10 years back in San Diego of ministry this January. It's amazing to me. And that's one of the things that hit me this morning is my friend voxed me. He said, you guys have been so faithful just to keep plowing in the face of obstacles and being portable. And I shared with him a little while ago, I said, man, it'll be 10 years of ministry. And it'll actually be, as we walk into this building, it'll be our 10th meeting location in 10 years. Not a good church growth plan. But I think about it, man. Like, I mean, had it not been the strength of God in me, I would not have made it 20 years in ministry. Because listen to me, I haven't been that good for 20 years. I haven't, it's not like, oh, pastor's been really awesome for 20. No, pastor's wanted to throw in the towel. Yeah. I mean, this is our 20 years. I just actually was talking with someone from our church, incredible ministry team partner, Eduardo. And I was at his house the other day, and he was just like, pastor, I'm so excited for you. And I said, no, I'm excited for us. This isn't my building. This is our building. This building ain't gonna be in my name. This building's gonna be in Canvas Church's name. Because one day I'm no longer gonna be the pastor of this church, and God's gonna raise up some young man and woman to take over this great church, and they're gonna carry it further than I ever did. And we're gonna be able to give them a building and say, hey, and they won't have to fight the battles that we fought, right? But he's talking to me, and he's just like, because pastor, how long you been portable? I sat back and I thought 20 years of ministry. And I remember the first 6 years of ministry, we were portable for 5 years, and then we got a building. And then I was in there for 1 year, and God said, okay, you're moving on. I'm like, what? Went to the next church, and it was portable. And I'm like, okay, we're portable. I was there for 3.5 years. For 2.5 of those years, we were portable. We got a building. 1 year later, he was like, okay, I'm moving you on. I'm like, and now, if you don't know our story, we moved back here 10 years ago, and we started what was Urban Church. Got hit with an arson, lost it. Told you we hit some giants. Relaunched as Canvas Church. We've been portable for, I counted it up, out of the 20 years of ministry, we've been portable for 17 years. Some of you showed up like 6 times. You're like, man, this is tough. I'm like, try 17 years. Now, we've had a great team over the last couple years, and so I can just, I don't have to show up every time. But man, 17 years. So some people are like, pastor, why are you so excited about a building? My only fear is this, is every time we got a building before, I was only there for a year longer and then God moved me on. I'm like, no, God, please. Had to be strong, man. Had to be strong. There were mornings, man, I think about getting up out of bed, pulling the trailer to get here. Thank God for people that God raised up with the same name. It must be a curse on Ben. I don't know. The gear. Man, we got to be strong. Be strong. You know, we're gonna start 21 days of prayer and fasting on the 7th. And that's one of the ways we find strength, spiritual strength. And I would encourage you to jump on board. We'll have all the information posted online if you've never been a part of that. He says, Joshua, I need you to be strong. The second thing he says to him, oh my gosh, it's 11:45. I don't care, we only have 8 weeks left in here. How many of you guys give me 5 more minutes? Who give me 5 more? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30, 40, 40 more minutes, all right. Man, after 10 years, people still fall for it. It's great. Number two, you've got to have courage. Joshua, I need you to be strong and very courageous. Three times. Have strength and have courage. Have strength and have courage. Have strength and have courage. You know what the opposite of courage is? It's discouraged. It's discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged before? Where you just feel like the life is sucked out of you. You have no courage whatsoever. And you just feel like, man, I don't know. This ain't going to happen. There's giants out there. We might as well just go back and do whatever. Discouraged. You want to go into what God has for you. You want to possess it. You got to fight for it. You need strength and you need courage. You need courage. And here's something I've noticed about courage. You know where I get my courage from? Yes, I get it from the Lord. And man, I'm going to be strong in him and the power of his might. But it's when God puts people around my life that are encouragers. Are you with me? You ever had somebody come along you that's just a great encourager? What does an encourager do? They put courage back inside of you. They encourage. And yes, I know ultimately my strength comes from God, but God never intended us to walk this journey alone. He intended us to walk it in a community, in a group of people. Why? Because he knew there'd be moments when, man, I don't think I can do this. And God says, okay, that's fine. And all of a sudden, so-and-so in the community comes along and encourages you, puts courage back inside of you. I'll just be honest, because that's a good thing on a Sunday morning for a pastor. Last week, man, we shared this great news, and Jeff was up here at the end making up new songs, right? It was just like, boom, it was awesome. Man, we got a building. Man, people sent me, because, man, that last week, as everyone wanted to hear the special announcement, Christmas weekend, man, it was like standing room only, so people from the back had videos, and like somebody even got up and did a dance. That's a dance, by the way. You gotta get a dance. Like when we made the announcement, the place was just like cheering. It was awesome. And like literally, like as I'm driving away from church last Sunday, phenomenal weekend, packed house, great announcement. We got a building. I drove away thinking, oh my God, what did I just do? Like I told the church we have a building. But we got to raise $75,000 by January 16th. God, this is a stupid idea. I'll be honest with you. And I felt myself discouraged. Epic weekend. We got a building. And I'm thinking, I'm an idiot. My wife just laughs at me. Literally, I'm just like, what did I do? Like, what? Like, I literally was like, God, what happens if we don't get it? How am I supposed to look at Ben and say, Ben, this is the rest of your life, bro. Like, hopefully your kids start feeding them protein now, man, because we need them by age 7 to just be like powerlifting, bro, because we're portable forever. I'm being serious. This is like, and then I just started in like, kind of like, I'll just start texting friends, you know, hey, here's our building. Check it out. Yay. Sending out the video. Hopefully they watch the full 5 minutes, please. Send. Excited for you. Awesome. Give me money. I'm just telling my last Sunday. This was December 23rd, 2018. Merry Christmas. I text my old youth pastor. He's like almost 60, he's 59 years old. And he's got a great church in Ventura. Pastor Jude Fuqua is his name. And I text to him, and he doesn't even text me back. So my phone starts ringing. And I answer. He's like, Ben! Only like Pastor Jude could do. I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's your building. I'm like, yeah. He goes, I can't believe it. That's a miracle. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, this is better than our church building. I'm like, really? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, oh, what do you need? $250,000? Not a problem. Call me January 2nd. We're going to raise that money in one day. I'm like, yeah, we are. All of a sudden, I found myself getting encouraged. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm not the only idiot. He believes it too. Is this the Truman Show? What's happening? Where's the hidden cameras? And all of a sudden, I found myself getting encouraged. Because the greatest way you find courage, believe it or not, is by getting around a community of Christ followers, of believers. That's why small groups are so important. That's why when you cross the threshold in 2019, if you aren't a part of a small group yet, you need to be a part of a small group. Because I'm telling you, to get to the wonderful life, you're going to have to fight for it. But the only way you're going to make it is not just by having strength, but by having courage. You got to have people around you that can encourage you. Lastly, you got to have faith. You got to have strength. You got to have courage. Ben, go ahead and come because it helps me close down. The greatest thing about getting in our own building soon is I can preach as long as I want. Right. Some of you are like, let's not get one then. God has a wonderful life, but you're going to have to fight for it. You better have strength. You better have courage. And listen to what he says at the very end. Joshua, I've already told you 3 times. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And he says this. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The antithesis of fear is faith. Don't be afraid, Joshua. Listen to me. If you want to walk into what God has for you this year, you need strength, you need courage, and you need faith. We need some faith, church. We need to stand with one another and encourage one another and fight with one another, not fight with, but fight together alongside one another. Have some strength, have some courage, but we got to have some faith. We got to have some faith. You know what the Bible says? You see, the first two to me, man, getting in a community, man, it empowers, it strengthens, man, it gives me courage. But listen to this one. You know where faith comes? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. 17, 10? 10, 17. It's a 10 and a 17. I don't know in which order. But that'll encourage you to go to your Bible and find it. Gotta have faith. You know, the Bible says that without faith, listen, you want to please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's going to be a... God is so pleased with Canvas Church right now. Because we are either dumb enough or faith-filled enough to say, we're going to buy a $3.5 million building. Where is God asking you to leap in your personal life? Where is God asking you to jump in your personal? Where is God saying, hey, this is what I have for you this year? And you're like, Who is God challenging you to pray for a miracle? That'll be a big one. I don't know, God. What's God speaking? What's he saying? Have faith. Please God. Have courage. Step out in boldness. And be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And watch the best life you've ever dreamed or imagined unfold right before your eyes. God, we thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today.